the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Let's start out with announcements. Wilderness alert, it says here. Tell the Bureau of Land Management what you think about off-road vehicles. The Bureau of Land Management maintains a vast network of public-owned lands in California, from the stunning King Mountain Range Conservation Area in Humboldt County's Lost Coast to the magnificent wilderness areas of the California desert. Places like Fort Ord, Headwaters Forest, Cache Creek, the Carrizo Plain, Otay Mountain, Bodie Hills, and other BLM areas are visited by thousands of people annually and are home to many species of endangered plants and animals. The BLM is currently seeking public input on its management of off-road vehicles, ORVs, which include motorcycles, dirt bikes, dune buggies, all-terrain vehicles such as quad runners and miscellaneous four-wheel drives. These are also called off-highway vehicles. These vehicles are allowed to run across many BLM holdings and have caused tremendous damage over the years to plant and animals, wildlife, and water quality. Native American sacred sites, scenery, and other critical values our public agencies are supposed to maintain and protect. All right, there are 94 million acres of BLM lands around the country are open to unrestricted cross-country overuse, a practice considered barbaric by almost everyone, including conservationists. What can you do? Well, the BLM is holding hearings and taking written testimony from the public on how its ORV program should be changed. The next public hearing is in Bishop, California, and that's being held on August 11th and 12th. If you'd like times and locations, please contact Mark Conley of the BLM. His phone number, 916-978-4654. That's Mark at 916-978-4654. And you can submit written comments by August 31st to BLM, California State Office, Attention OHV Coordinator, 2800 Cottage Way, Sacramento, California, 95825. That address again, BLM, State, California State Office, Attention OHV Coordinator, 2800 Cottage Way, Sacramento, California, 95825. Or send email to mconley, M-C-O-N-L-E-Y, at ca.blm.gov. Or if you want to send him a fax, his number is 916-978-4620. That's 916-978-4620. Be sure and share your experiences on BLM and the damage you have seen done by off-road vehicles. And Justin Samuel is back in the United States and needs your help. Justin Samuel is an accused animal liberator from Seattle, facing up to 82 years for allegedly releasing nearly 12,000 mink to freedom from five fur farms in South Dakota, Wisconsin, and Iowa In October of 1997, Justin and another Seattle activist, Peter Young, were indicted by a federal grand jury in September of 1998 on 4 counts of disruption of interstate commerce, with a 20-year maximum on each count, and animal enterprise terrorism. Alrighty. Anyway, Justin and Peter both went underground following the indictments, but Justin was arrested in Belgium and is back in the United States. He's asking that folks do not send him mail right now, but he will be looking for mail in the future. He's also being denied vegan food. Life is not easy and never is in jail, but if you're a vegan, it's even worse. He does need support for his legal campaign. You can also make and distribute flyers, set up benefit shows, send out press releases, da-da-da-da-da. And Uncle Dennis will let you know about upcoming trial dates. If you want to donate to Justin's Defense Fund, make your checks payable to NA-ALFSG. That's NA-ALFSG. And send them to the Justin Samuel Defense Fund, care of North American ALF Supporters Group, Box 69597, that's Box 69597, at 5845 Yonge Street, that's Yonge, or Yonge, I don't know, I think it's Yonge, in Willowdale, Ontario. And the Canadian zip code is M2M4K3. Once again, that address for donations: Justin Samuel Defense Fund, care of North American ALF Supporters Group, Box 69597, and that's at 5845 Yonge Street, Yonge, in Willowdale, Ontario, M2M4K3. And if you want to contact these folks by email, it's usjssf at hotmail.com. Let them know Uncle Dennis sent you. In West Virginia, the Fernow Experimental Forest Project on the Monongahela National Forest is going to comprise 27.7 acres of clear cutting, 161 acres of commercial thinning, 214 acres of overstory removal. Basically, they're taking the trees out. 110 acres of prescribed burning, 77 acres of shelterwood removal. That's, again, they take out the trees. About 0.2 miles of road construction and 154 acres of single tree selection. This project is in the environmental assessment comment period, and your comment should be postmarked by August 8th. Please send your comments on the Fernow Experimental Forest Project on the Monongahela National Forest to Mary Beth Adams, Ph.D., Project Leader, NE4353, at P.O. Box 404, Parsons, West Virginia, 26787. Once again, that address for comments should be postmarked by August 8th. Second to Mary Beth Adams, Ph.D., Project Leader, NE4353. That's probably really important. The NE4353 is probably really important. P.O. Box 404, Parsons, West Virginia, 26787. All right, get those comments in. Write a letter to the CEO of Lowe's on behalf of Southern Forest. Last year, as a result of the campaign to protect old-growth forests, Lowe's and other retail wood outlets made commitments to change their wood purchasing policies. In addition to agreeing not to purchase old-growth wood, Lowe's, one of the biggest companies in the business, committed to, quote, protect environmentally threatened forest and to, quote, promote environmentally friendly practices. Lowe's, based in North Carolina, is now in the process of determining what its wood purchasing policy would look like. This policy will have sweeping impacts across the entire wood products industry. It's critical that Lowe's new policy specifically addresses the impacts of wood chip mills and forest industry in the South. Take a few minutes to write to the CEO of Lowe's on behalf of the endangered forests of the South. Here's his address: Robert Tillman, T-I-L-L-M-A-N, CEO, of Lowe's, L-O-W apostrophe S, Box 1111, North Wilkesboro, W-I-L-K-E-S-B-O-R-O, North Carolina, 28686. Once again, the address, Robert Tillman, CEO of Lowe's, Box 1111, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, 28686. Thank him for the commitment Lowe's made to protect old growth and other endangered forests, and let him know that Southern Forests are some of the most biologically diverse in the world, and there are more than 100 chip mills down there in the last 10 years. And ask Lowe's to consider the threats to the endangered forests of the South by developing their wood purchasing policy to phase out chipboard, refuse to purchase wood from any companies actively engaged in the conversion of natural forests or wetlands to pine plantations, refuse to purchase wood from national forests, commit to significantly reduce the overall supply and use of wood-based products, and a commitment to support local wood recycling efforts. And if you would, send a copy of your letter to the Dogwood Alliance. Their email address, Dana, D-A-N-N-A, at dogwoodalliance.org. And from California, Santa Cruz County, there's an audio program produced by WPKN. It's part of that program is an interview with Blackbird, who's currently sitting in Ramsey Gulch in 100 feet up a tree. If you'd like to listen to that program, you can find it at www.btlonline. That's btlonline.org, and it's a real audio file. Tree sitter to fast for ancient forest. On July 1st, 2000, Nate Madsen, age 26, began the process of weaning himself off of food and will begin an all-out liquid diet hunger strike on July 22nd in an effort to raise awareness of the destruction of ancient redwood forest by suffering himself. Nate is a veteran tree sitter who has been in the ancient redwood tree Moriah for over 21 months, located near the community of Freshwater outside of Eureka, California. The freshwater drainage is largely owned by Maxam Pacific Lumber, who has been known for the controversy that surrounds the ancient redwoods in the Headwaters Preserve. Following Charles Hurwitz's hostile takeover of Pacific Lumber Company by Maxam, Pacific Lumber began liquidating watersheds like the freshwater drainage in 1991 through large-scale clear-cutting. The California Department of Forestry declared a logging moratorium in 1999 on this watershed due to its overly impacted status. Freshwater residents continue to be exposed to extreme flooding during small rainstorms in recent years. Last year, Maxam PL started to undertake a watershed analysis that had to be taken over by the state and federal agencies when Maxam PL's first attempt at watershed analysis failed to pass peer review. The signs are obvious, says Nate. The forest is wounded and the streams bleed the mud of its pain. The pain is somewhat intangible to the outside observer, but as people relate to people, the pain of hunger will hopefully ring true and raise awareness for the pain the forest endures at the hands of industrial liquidation logging. This according to Nate Madsen. If you'd like more information and to check up on the progress of the fast, contact Nate. His pager number is 707-476-9580. That's 707-476-9580. Or you can send him email at Nate Madsen, N-A-T-E-M-A-D-S-E-N, at pocketmail.com. That's Nate Madsen at pocketmail.com, or his website, www.upatree.net. That's www.upatree.net. Redwoods in the heart, Nate. I got to check that one out, www.upatree.net. Hey, y'all, after the Forest Service armed removal of peaceful protesters in the pods that blocked access to Eagle Creek Salvage Rider timber sale, a lot of folks aren't sure what the status is of the tree sit in the old-growth unit of Eagle. The tree sit is up and doing fine. Resistance to the illegal logging of Eagle Creek is strong and resolute. There are base camps at both access roads to Eagle, and there's an ongoing protest at the Regional Forest Service office in Portland. The history of Eagle Creek is a sad testimony to an agency that is blinded by its zeal to cut down native forests. First, the Eagle sale was prepared under the salvage rider. Then evidence of excessive blowdown in the cut last year was ignored. Now the lives of protesters were put at risk by an armed pre-dawn raid in which the safety lines to the pods were severed. To make sure the media and the public can't see what's going on, the U.S. Forest Service has instituted a broad and unconstitutional closure order to keep out everyone but the loggers. If you want to get daily updates, the Cascadia Forest Alliance hotline number, 503-241-4879. That's 503-241-4879. Check that one out. And Tree descends from his perch after blowing kisses at the U.S. Forest Service employees from the 9-inch-wide third-story ledge he's called home for 11 days. The man who's called himself Tree Arrow rappelled 30 feet down the agency's regional office last Monday and into the arms of his supporters. Chalk slogans on the sidewalk and smudges on a window are all that remained of the dramatic occupation that began July 7th in downtown Portland and focused new attention on the controversial timber sale on the Mount Hood National Forest. This is not over by a long shot, said Arrow, whom police identified as Michael J. Scarpitti, 26. In the final moments he spent on the ledge before the television cameras and cheering supporters, Scarpitti urged others to climb buildings or sit in trees to protest logging. "I'm not going to have time to sign autographs," Scarpitti said after he packed a roll of toilet paper into a cloth bag and dropped it to his support team. Although he appeared to enjoy the attention, he told a crowd that filled the sidewalk and spilled into the street that this was never about a guy on a ledge. "We're destroying our land. It's time we realize we can no longer take the slaughter of our rights, the slaughter of our health, the slaughter of our planet in the name of greed," he said, speaking through a bullhorn, which was among the last things he sent down. Three cheers for Tree. And Salem BLM drops an old-growth sale. Crabtree Watershed is still threatened, though. Due to the excellent work of forest defenders at BARC, the Bureau of Land Management has halted the Harry Thomas Ancient Forest timber sale in order to complete surveys of rare and endemic plant and animal species associated with old growth. Although the halted Harry Thomas sale is a success, the BLM had a number of old growth trees in the sale cut before appeals were resolved and wildlife studies were done as part of its 3P fell, buck, and scale program. The Crabtree Watershed adjacent to Thomas Creek and Harry Thomas is threatened by three timber sales. The BLM has yet to conduct a watershed analysis or survey for rare and endemic species. In response, BARC American Lands ONRC and the Cascadia Forest Defenders are leading hikes to the at-risk Salem BLM timber sales on a regular basis. For more information, contact George Sexton, American Lands Alliance. His number, 541-349-9660. That's 541-349-9660. Or you can send email to WAFC at teleport.com. That's Western Ancient Forest Coalition, WAFC at teleport.com. And four Yuba Nation activists occupied the Sierra Pacific Industries Grass Valley office last week, refusing to leave until the timber company's owner, Aldous Red Emerson, called them and agreed to a dramatic reform in the company's logging practices. The activists, who locked themselves together with bike locks around their necks, said they were protesting SBI's logging along the middle fork of the Yuba, as well as the company's industrial operations throughout California. Yuba Nation also delivered a letter to SPI urging the company to halt all logging along the Yuba and in areas important to imperiled species, stop clear-cutting, and end its monopolistic practices that make it difficult for smaller, more responsible operations to compete. The action was the third nonviolent protest taken by Yuba Nation since the group launched Sierra Summer, a series of season-long actions against the timber giant. Quote, "I'm doing this today because I believe ecological integrity should come before corporate profits," said Mike Webb, 21, of the Yuba Nation activists who occupied SPI's office. "I'm here because I want there to be some forest left for my children and grandchildren," said Gene Varda, who was also present in the office. The Direct Action Group also made it clear that recent charges filed against Yuba Nation activists would not have the chilling effect on its activities. Quote, "The district attorney should get a real life pursuing real cases with real criminals instead of harassing innocent citizens who are exercising their constitutional rights of free speech. The DA should prosecute Red Emerson and SPI officials for conspiring to commit crimes against nature," said Bryant Vincent of Yuba Nation. And from the Midwest, Governor George Ryan took the unusual step Wednesday of intervening in a local property dispute after Winnebago County officials ignored his first attempt to help a Rockford man who refuses to sell his property for a road project. Uncle Dennis has been telling you about Tom Ditzler. Though he's a blind veteran, he's trying to stop the building of a road across wetlands on his property. But Governor Ryan played a trump card even as chainsaw-wielding county workers made their first foray onto the disputed property to clear trees for their survey of the center line of the new road. News of the work had prompted protesters to gather on the property, and Ditzler's daughter Christina was among At least two people arrested in a dispute with authorities. They were later released. Spokesman for Governor Ryan and the State Department of Transportation said the department, which answers to the governor, would delay awarding the construction contract for the road while the legal dispute continues. Without Ryan action, the contract was likely to be awarded any day, and construction was likely to begin within weeks. Distler said he wasn't sure what to think after weeks of up-and-down emotions and hopes for saving his property. It seems like we get one or two good days of news, 2 days of good news, and then 3 or 4 days of bad news, Distler said in a gravelly, cigarette-tinged voice. As he talked, as many as 2 dozen protesters continued to mill around outside, condemning the county's action and listening to a local talk radio station that has taken up Distler's cause. In a genetically modified crop action, oilseed rape was trampled and pulled up in Scotland's only full-scale farm trial of genetically modified crops that was attacked for the second time in 2 days. About a quarter of an acre of oilseed rape was affected in the Sunday night incident in New Craig Farm near Daviot, Aberdeenshire. Grampian police were already investigating an attack on the field on Saturday night when a different quarter acre was trampled or pulled up. Scottish Liberal Democrat MSP for Gordon, Nora Radcliffe, said the attacks were irresponsible, she said. There are a few genuine fears surrounding GM technology which need to be addressed. However, this is not the way to go about it. Even environmental groups agree that widespread testing has to be carried out on GM technology if we are to progress further. The seed planted in Daviot has undergone every possible laboratory test, which is why it is now being tested and closely monitored in a field-scale trial. This unnecessary action by individuals with an extremist agenda serves no purpose whatsoever, she added. A spokesman for the Scottish Executive condemned the attacks and said that if they were continued, officials would have to consider withholding information about trial sites. The incidents occurred shortly after Rural Affairs Minister Ross Finney rejected calls for the trials to be abandoned. It had emerged that non-GM rapeseed sown as part of the experiment was contaminated with GM seed. Kevin Stewart, spokesman for the campaign group Campaign Against GM, said he was not surprised that direct action had taken place. And 11 protesters have been arrested after a suspected attack on a test crop of genetically modified maize, or corn, last Wednesday. They will be questioned by Essex, that's British Essex police, but no formal charges have yet been made. A police helicopter will be used to photograph the damage. Professor Chris Pollack said numbers of trials are low and damage affected the ability to collect data will affect the total information pool. Scientists need 60 to 75 sites over a 3-year trial to assess the impact. According to the Essex police, the 11 are still being questioned and they expected to go on for quite some time. GM has become a major political issue in Britain, forcing the biotechnology industry into an emotional battle over what skeptical newspapers have dubbed Frankenstein foods. And ELF targets the genetic engineering research at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories. Cold Spring Harbor, on July 13th, the Earth Liberation Front claimed responsibility for anti-biotech direct actions at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories in Long Island, New York. This is the first known incident of action in that state. Under the cover of night and by pale moonlight, the activists evaded security and destroyed 2 acres of GMO corn and several greenhouses worth of seedlings. They also monkey wrenched several trucks, spray-painted anti-genetic messages everywhere. In doing so, it is estimated that 2 years of genetic experiments were destroyed. CSHL, that's Cold Springs Harbor Laboratories, is notorious as a 100-year-old institution that has pioneered the science of genetic engineering. Its labs were responsible for research relating to the discovery of hybrid vigor, which led to increased corn production and a revolution in crop breeding, more commonly known as the Green Revolution. If you want more information, contact Genetics Alert, their phone number 901-438-9907. All right. The Earth Liberation Front claims responsibility for sabotage at the U.S. Forest Service's North Central Research Station. This is the Forest Biotechnology Lab. The underground Earth Liberation Front has claimed responsibility for sabotaging a genetic engineering research program and 10 vehicles at the U.S. Forest Service's North Central Research Station Biotechnology Laboratory in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, on July 20th. Damage estimates are unknown at this time. Communication sent by ELF stated Over 500 research pine and broadleaf trees and saplings were cut down, ring-barked, or trampled. Additionally, 10 Forest Service trucks were defaced and calling cards left behind. We've got more news coming up in a minute, but right now, Uncle Dennis is going to take a little break and rest his throat while we listen to a little music.
Well, Sinkio, you bear such a noble name. Oh, Sinkio, a testament to white man's shame. The boss at Georgia Pacific, he needs to make some dough. So sorry, California, those redwoods gotta go. Oh, Sinkio, you can't let them cut you down. Oh, Sinkio, they don't care that it's sacred ground. They massacred the Indians, they stole the land they left. But now they come to tell us that I'm finished with their theft. Well, Sinkio, your spirit is so great. Well, Sinkio, I can't believe this is your fate. George Pacific, he likes to feel his might, but none can match the power of Mother Nature's might. Well, Sinkio, he don't care. Oh, Sinkio, your agent wants to cut you bare. Someday his own grandchildren will walk on barren soil, while from the shorelines they can watch the oil rigs dig for oil. Oh, Sinkio, we cannot let this be. Well, Sinkio, we can't let them touch one tree. The mother must suffer for the profit of a few. Hey, boss at Georgia Pacific, we might just clear cut you.
And Earth First Radio will be right back.